Welcome to another episode of Seizing Adulthood with me, AD.
And me, Erwin.
A weekly podcast where we talk about our misadventures in adulthood so that you can learn from mistakes without having to make them. And we can tell you how not to adult. So we have another difficult topic this week. And I noticed that for the past 3 weeks, right after the collection episode, we've been tackling the topics that were kind of hard to discuss. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should plan lighter topics for the next episode. Well, not the next one right away, because we already know what we will talk about next week, or in a few days rather, just so we can get the regular schedule back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should do a fun episode soon, but it's also good that we're able to discuss topics like toxic relationships and burnouts.
Yeah.
Because those are really things that adults experience.
Right. So for today's episode, we will talk about another difficult topic, and it's all about moving on. In life, we constantly experience having to let go of a lot of things. Not just exes, friends, loved ones, pets, jobs, material things like clothes or shoes, but even routines and habits. It's always scary when life hits you with a combo of change and uncertainty. But what happens when past experiences keep holding you back?
Are there surefire ways to move on? What are the factors that make it so hard to escape the past?
And why is closure so important? Join us for this episode as we talk about the difficult process of moving on, embracing change, and healing from the past. And listen to us tell you
how not to let your past hold you back.
There's no easy way to say this, but it always hurts when you have to let something go. And it's even harder when it involves a person. It doesn't matter if you lost someone through falling out, separation, or even death, because the fact is, letting anything go or moving on is a hard process to go through. And I guess some people avoid doing it because it's too painful, or sometimes, maybe one just doesn't know where or how to begin.
Yeah, but there are really moments when we just have to let things go, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
It is possible for anyone to move on. And if you're waiting for a sign, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. This is your sign.
Mag-move on ka na. Anyway, we will run through some of the things that you can do to not let your past hold you back.
Right.
Let's start with tip number one. Do not skip the grieving process.
I'll be the one to discuss this, right?
Yeah, you can have the floor.
So, what is grief?
Sadness? Despair?
I think despair. Well, its definition is that it's the feeling of deep sorrow.
Despair.
And although grief is highly associated with death, it is actually an emotional process that we all have to go through whenever we let go of something, because it's what we feel when something is gone or taken away, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is, after all, a natural response to loss. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's also necessary to go through a grieving process whenever we would have to let go or move on from something. So I guess for this tip, I'd be sharing a very personal experience. And that experience was when I lost my dad to cancer a few years back. Losing my dad is one thing I don't really talk about, but if people can learn from my experience, then that's a good enough reason for me to talk about it more. So I hope I don't cry.
I'm here. I'm just here.
But anyway, so I lost him at a fairly young age. Well, not like too young, but I was 16 and back then we didn't have SHS. So I was already a college freshman that time.
Mm-hmm.
And in context, my dad was very athletic and always full of energy. He played tennis and even got a lot of medals and trophies for it. So, and he also loved animals, had a farm full of it, was an architect, and took me with him whenever he could. So, I was the bunso and basically a daddy's girl. Heck, I was even named after him. He was Eddie and I was Adie. Growing up, he was always like Superman to me. He was fit, had muscles, had abs, even during his senior age. So yeah, my dad was really fit. And he was quiet but funny, loving, and just overall a great dad. So one day, he mentioned how he felt there was a lump in his stomach and had it checked. Doctors said they should remove it just to be safe. And I was even the one with him during the night he was being prepped for surgery to remove the tumor. So it was just us because my mom was still on her flight home as she was in the US at that time. And a few days after the surgery, we found out it was terminal cancer. And that it was on its fourth stage because, you know, colon cancer is a sneaky bitch. And I guess that's when I started to build a wall around me. So may wall Maria.
Attack on Titan.
And I guess I was in denial from the start because it was just impossible for someone as healthy and athletic like my dad to get cancer, right?
Yeah.
So I had been like that for over 3 months or 100 days to be exact. And then we lost him. So it was that fast. Thing is, I didn't even cry during his wake or cremation. When my dad passed away, we had a wake for just one night. And then the cremation the next day. And I guess I was just in shock. I didn't cry at all. And I thought I could just skip the grieving process and move on. Then, a few days after all that, of course, I had to force myself to go back to school and work on projects or homework. And, oh no, I remember that I had to use paint for something. And I needed to use a thinner, you know, thinner. So I had to open this can, you know, the one where you just pop open. But I couldn't. Well, yeah, because patigas siya. So I did the most logical thing to do, and I went to my dad's room to ask him to open it for me. And when I opened the door with a can of thinner in one hand, that's when it dawned to me, and that's when I realized that he was no longer there and that he was gone. So that was the very first time I cried. Lol, up until now, I still cry when I remember that moment. But yeah, I cried nonstop. I think I was there in his room for hours, crying and crying. Sad part is, di ko pa rin nabuksan yung thinner ko. Tapos di ko na lang nagawa ata project ko. I just skipped school for like a week. But yeah, I was in denial. Like intense denial syndrome. And I guess what made it so hard for me to accept what was happening from the very start was that I never really talked to anyone about it in my family. And as a family, we didn't really talk about it as well. Although we did spread his ashes in the ocean like he wanted us to. And I guess that was symbolic at some point, like, okay, this is us letting him go. But still, we never talked about our feelings. We just expected to let everyone move on at their own pace. So I guess the takeaway here is, guys, don't do that. Allow yourself to process your emotions. Let yourself go through the grieving process no matter what it is you are trying to move on from or trying to let go. It doesn't even have to be related to death. Yes, sometimes it's important to be strong in the face of loss, but ignoring the pain and thinking it will go away faster if you don't entertain it is the worst.
Right. And they say there are 5 stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But there are studies saying that you don't have to go through each stage in order to heal, and not everyone who grieves goes through all of these stages. I think it's safe to say that there is no standard response to loss, but you still have to deal with your own grieving process.
Yeah, don't skip it. It is important to remember that everyone copes with loss differently, and that the grieving process is inevitable, but there are ways to come in terms with it so that you can move on. You have to acknowledge the pain, accept that there would be things to remind you of what you lost, and remember that there are people who care about you, and eventually, with the help of time, you will be able to let things go.
That is very true. And that's it for tip number one. Do not skip the grieving process. Moving on to tip number two. Do not rush into something else.
Featuring Taco snoring. Okay.
Okay. Looking for distractions while moving on is pretty much something that everyone does.
Yeah.
We have to give ourselves some emotional breathing room from time to time in order to recollect and reassess certain parts of our lives. But what if those distractions become an obsession that totally let us fall down yet another rabbit hole? In previous episodes, I mentioned that I used to play Dora a lot back then. It was like a day-in, day-out addiction, and I had to eventually stop since it was affecting my studies. I did stop playing. However, my classmates discovered Mineski, which catered to Call of Duty 2 Modern Warfare. I got over Dota in a matter of days, but I was addicted to another game and was on the verge of doing worse at school. I never had the time to process and reflect on the mistake I did with my first addiction, and I immediately jumped into the next best thing. I never really moved on, and I just did it in a different shop, a different game, and a different community. Luckily, after a few months, I was able to escape my addiction and bad habits for good.
A few months.
I refocused my attention to school afterwards and graduated a little bit later than I should have.
5 years.
No, 4 years, one term.
5 years.
4 years, one term, trisim.
That makes it worse.
Shut up. So, kids, my bad gaming experience taught me to not replace an addiction with a different addiction.
And made him stay 2 years longer in LaSalle.
Ooh, 4 years. 4 years.
Yeah,
one sim.
You're supposed to graduate in like, what, 3 years?
Trisim.
You stayed there for 5 years.
Here's the kicker. Shifty.
That's not an excuse.
Let me get back to it. Do not rush yourself into different things after something ends.
Yeah.
Give it time. Learn the mistakes. Appreciate what you can get out of it and move forward.
Yeah, but I have to ask, have you ever seen the movie One More Chance?
What's that?
The one with John Lloyd and Bay. I can't believe you've never seen that. It's like a staple for Filipinos.
Cardo. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I know.
Nescafe. Shut up. Anyway,
Avengers.
Filipino millennials tend to reference that movie a lot, and some even use a concept from that movie as a standard when it comes to moving on from a breakup. Do you know that? Of course you don't. You've never seen it.
Yeah. So what's the concept?
So it's called the 3 month rule.
Wow.
And it basically means any couple who breaks up must wait at least 3 months before they engage in another relationship.
Coitus.
And for me, that's completely bullshit. You can't expect for everyone to move on at the same pace. Some do it faster than the others, while some may take more time. Wala siyang standard na dapat ganitong months okay ka na or pwede ka na.
Mag-coitus.
Then again, I guess the point of this part in the movie was also to highlight the mutual respect both parties should have for each other. Point is, although there is no rule as to how long it should take anyone to move on, you shouldn't make it a point to rush it either. Again, give yourself time to acknowledge, absorb, and accept what happened.
Right, because you also have to reflect and learn from the experience so you won't make the same mistakes again or go on the same route that led to a disaster.
4 years, one term, 5 years.
Trisim. I can't continue my lines. Anyway, that's it for tip number 2. Do not rush into something else. Moving on to tip number 3. Do not make excuses. There are times when the best way to move on is to simply accept the facts laid out in front of us.
I thought you were going to say, there are times when the best way to move on is to simp.
Pwede rin naman.
Yeah, pwede naman.
Why not? Moving on is a process. And
simping is part of moving on.
Yes, true. Making excuses to hold on to something long overdue is just a way to prolong whatever it is you are currently stuck to.
Yeah.
And for this tip, it's my turn to share a very personal experience I had. And maybe a listener out there is experiencing the same thing and can learn from it.
Gaya-gaya.
So, I had a
relationship back then that went on for 7 years. We were both studying in different universities, and we also lived far away from each other. We tried to make it work, and I kept trying to convince myself that we could still push on despite it being an almost long-distance relationship. The longer we tried to push forward, the more we fought, and sometimes even over the simplest things, like my Dota addiction. Maybe back then, in my head, I thought that if I broke it off, I would be throwing it all away. It was 7 years after all, and it was near a decade.
Yeah.
Eventually, we drifted apart, and it just ended. We didn't even talk about it. It just stopped. As in, we just stopped talking, and that was it.
Wait, so there was never any closure?
Voila. Actually, not that I remember anything, but as far as I know, it just ended like poof, poof, magic. To be honest, we both could have saved ourselves from the emotional roller coaster only if we chose to decide to end things earlier and the moment we realized that we were no longer happy with each other. So, if you are deciding to move on, do not ever make excuses to try to put yourself in that situation again. Reflect and think about whether you're staying for yourself, for the other person, or for the sake of staying. Huwag kang manghinayang sa time you spent with each other kung ayaw mo na. Because honestly, you're just wasting more valuable time doing that when you could have spent it bettering yourself or with someone else.
Like me.
Yay! It's important to make sure to save yourself from regret and learn from the experience no matter how tough it was.
I guess what you went through is a fairly common experience for couples who are burnt out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because there are really some couples who fell out of love a long time ago but still try to save the relationship that even they can't say is worth saving.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, nanghihinayang kasi sila sa time. And they probably invested so much in the relationship. Pero kung wala na kasi talagang spark and your gut is telling you that it's going nowhere, then maybe you should listen to your instincts and get it over with. You could say the same for a job, right?
Yeah.
We sometimes reach a point that we're so comfortable doing the same thing over and over and over again that we realize things have become monotonous and that there's no longer any progress or growth for us. Those are feelings you should pay attention to. If you're feeling discontent, unhappy, and full of grievances, don't let those feelings turn you into a miserable person. Reassess, leave, and start the process of moving on to let yourself grow again.
Right. And that's it for tip number 3. Do not make excuses. Moving on to tip number 4. Do not focus on the bad. Focus on the good. Events in our life will always have ups and downs. Focusing on the good things can help us achieve a sense of fulfillment and happiness, while focusing on the bad things can sometimes bring out negativity that we do not need to invite at all. We have to look at our bad experiences as lessons and let them become a driving force to improve and better ourselves.
Lun ka muna.
And much better. I remember when I was new at work. I used to sulk whenever I made a mistake. And instead of trying to focus on what I could do to improve myself, I'd start off with a bad mood and let it ruin my day. I had to accept that I wasn't perfect and mistakes will always happen from time to time. It took time for me to realize that in order for me to get better, I had to accept these mistakes as my faults and find a way to accomplish my responsibilities regardless of how difficult the task is.
Yeah, sometimes we really are our own worst critics.
Yeah, and there will always be bad moments or hiccups in our life, but they should never define who we are. Instead, turn them around into lessons that can help us grow.
And I'd also like to make it clear that our tip, not focusing on the bad, doesn't mean you should try to shut out the negative emotions or feelings. No, that will further disrupt the process of letting go. Instead, we are emphasizing that you actually have control on how to react to a situation, but not to the point that it becomes toxic positivity, because toxic positivity is when one rejects difficult emotions to create this facade of being optimistic and happy. Mm-hmm. And that's also one thing we should avoid. We should also stop toxic positivity with other people by saying things like, oh, look at the bright side, or oh, things happen for a reason, yada, yada, yada. Because we say things like that thinking they are well-intentioned and comforting or showing sympathy. But to be honest, sometimes they just sound dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
As studies say, toxic positivity denies people the authentic support they need to cope with what they are facing. So I think it's basically harmful. Maybe we should also say things like, I'm here for you. Your feelings are valid. And sometimes you can just be there to listen.
Yeah, and I also think people feel the pressure to be strong and positive during times when they experience difficult or even traumatic things.
Yeah.
That's why offering support is important, and we should also try our best to be conscious and mindful of the things that we do, because there really are times when humans just like to self-destruct when faced with difficult situations.
Yeah.
Like what the great inventor Alexander Graham Bell once said, when one door closes, another one opens. But we so often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the ones which open for us.
Wow, memorized.
Siyempre. Googled. Nailed it! Watch that. It's a good show. Again, there would be times when you may think of the bad experiences, but remember to put your focus on the good things that can come out of it so that it can help you move on and let go of things easier.
Nailed it.
Nailed it!
And that's it for tip number 4. Do not focus on the bad, focus on the good.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to tip number 5, let us read the responses from our listeners and followers on Instagram. Yay. So, a few days ago, we asked 3 questions, and we will be reading out some answers. We even asked people if they wanted to remain anonymous or not, so yeah. For the first question, it was, any experience you found hard to let go, move on, or walk away from? Followed by, what were the factors that made it hard for you to move on?
Mm-hmm.
So we basically asked our followers if they could share an experience about letting go or moving on and how they dealt with it. Before anything else, we apologize for not being able to read all the responses. So anyway, wait, I'll get my phone. Over here. So one response is from Jerry Perez.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I gave up on universities including UP, USD, and VSU due to the pandemic, my family, and etc. And the things that made it hard for him to move on were fear of what people might think, being a disappointment, and being left behind. So, Jerry, first of all, I'm sorry you weren't able to pursue being able to go to those schools you mentioned. And your feelings are valid. It's scary to feel being left behind and dreading what other people may think. We're not experts, but
we're not.
The advice I could give is that for the time being, maybe it's best to focus on yourself and do some self-improvement. Learn new things, celebrate even the small victories and accomplishments, and just focus your energy on things you can actually control instead of dwelling on things you can't.
Mm-hmm. And we are rooting for you, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah. So another response is from someone who chose to stay anonymous. Okay, so lost a lot of weight and can't wrap my head around the fact that my favorite clothes don't fit anymore, and people aren't looking at me the same way.
Okay, so yeah. Any form of change is scary, and sometimes it's just really hard to take in or process change.
Yeah.
But you have to go through the feelings as they come, because it's the best way for yourself to get through them easier.
Yeah.
And they say when you learn to let go or move on, you give yourself peace. So maybe trying to let go of the thought that your favorite clothes no longer fit can help you accept yourself better, especially the physical changes you went through. And I gotta say, good job on the weight loss if losing weight was the goal. So another response is from another person who chose to stay anonymous. And this person said, I have a toxic friend who is still my friend because we are neighbors. And she added how she found it hard to stop being friends with that person because they have the same circle of friends. Now, this is a tough spot since there are a lot of social interactions that can be affected if you do decide to part ways with that person. Maybe you can try to lessen the amount of time you spend with that person, or maybe you can start to avoid initiating any conversation. You can still talk, but conversations don't have to start with you. You won't completely shut them out of your life, but by lessening your exposure to toxicity, then maybe you'll be able to lessen the negativity following you. You can also try to listen to an episode we have about it, by the way. Plug in. Nailed it.
Shameless plug. All right. I guess the last response is from Mako. Mm-hmm. Hi, Mako.
Hi, Mako.
He said, losing Snow, losing my dog, it's really hard. Until now, naiyak pa rin ako. So I can't even imagine the pain he went through when he lost his dog, because I don't ever want to entertain the thought of losing our Taco.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that a part of me would also die and a piece of my heart will forever be broken, because that's the effect dogs have on people.
Yes.
They change your life. So I'm pretty sure that Snow is grateful and lucky to have had you as a fur parent. It's never easy to lose anyone, especially a loyal companion. But remember that you don't have to go through the grieving process alone, as there are people who will be there for you to help you move on.
Right.
And we will now be moving on to tip number 5. Do not neglect self-care.
Self-care is very important, and when we let our past hold us back, we tend to neglect our own needs because we are so focused on something else that's making us miserable.
Yeah.
And sometimes by simply moving on, you are helping yourself to stay away from negativity. My experience for this tip would be about moving on from an old habit. So, after college and a few months after meeting AD, I didn't know how to dress up.
He didn't.
I looked like crap. As in basura talaga. And I generally didn't care what others thought of the way I looked. It came to a point when AD told me that I should present myself better, like way better. So at first, I was so in denial, since dressing up the way I did felt so normal to me. I slowly gave in eventually and tried to change some articles of my clothing one by one. I started wearing flip-flops less.
Chinelakis.
Yes, chinelakis. Until I stopped wearing them entirely. Bought less baggier pants and shorts and changed most of my graphic tees to neutrals. And thankfully, my own confidence and self-respect started to grow.
Yeah.
I guess it also made AD feel more special because I now make an effort to look better before seeing her.
Even right now.
Yeah. Hindi na yung gusgusin, no? So... Hindi na gusgusin lang, okay na. I wanted to make her feel more special because I am presenting myself better, not just for myself, but for her as well.
Wow, what an honor it is to not see you wearing flip-flops anymore.
Yes. Even in the shower, I wear shoes. Like, bam, surprise, motherfucker. I'm presentable, fashionable, sleek.
Wow, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
AD has helped me move on from the bad habit of not caring for my appearance to someone who knows that he can well enough present himself with pride and confidence. Yeah.
Wow.
I was resistant to change at first, but eventually being convinced that I deserved better made me realize that helping myself is the best self-care for my well-being.
So I don't really have a particular experience for this tip, But some people tend to neglect their needs after, let's say, losing a job or going through a breakup. Mm-hmm. They're, of course, sad mm-hmm. and helpless. They go through self-doubt and even lose confidence. And some get stuck in these stages probably because they're still in a denial or bargaining stage. Yung listening to sad songs, not eating or sleeping properly, always crying. And yeah, point is, you can do all those if they are your means of coping. But you have to remember that not taking care of yourself will only make matters worse. Love yourself and remember that you are the most important person in your life. Prioritize yourself, pick up the broken pieces, and create a new path.
Mm-hmm. And that's it for tip number 5. Do not neglect self-care.
So there are actually a lot more things we didn't mention that people need to stop doing so that they can let their past go or stop letting their past hold them back. And they're mostly relationship-centered, kasi, mm-hmm. right? Like stalking your ex online, checking out the new person they're dating,
why?
Not creating space for yourself or them to move on, looking at old photos, sticking to old habits, mm-hmm. and just doing things that remind them of the past. If you just got out of a relationship, avoid doing all those. Don't torture yourself. And yeah, practice self-care.
That is true. Self-care is the most important thing to remember when you are going through the process of moving on. Before we end this episode, let us read out some responses from our listeners and followers on Instagram to our last question, which is, how were you able to move on and get past an experience that was hard to let go? Again, we apologize for not being able to read all the responses. So, one response again from Jerry. I haven't fully moved on from the trauma of being left behind, but my friends were always there for me. And good for you for having very supportive friends.
Yeah, good for you and kudos to your friends. Things really get easier when you have people who support your journey. And don't worry, you'll get there. So I guess let's read out one more from someone. Okay, so this person said, reaffirmation from others, but mostly self-reflection and learning to come to terms with my identity and reflective essays. From this response, I can tell that this person really strives for self-improvement and is very conscious about their decisions and actions. So good job, and we wish you all the best.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to join the conversation next time, please follow us at Seizing Adulthood on Instagram or Facebook. We actually have a Twitter account, but it's kind of dead at the moment, and we'll find a way to fix that.
Yeah, please follow us. Anyway, learning to let go, move on, and make peace with the things you can't change are important things. They're just inevitable and a part of life.
One can't easily master the art of letting go and moving on, but there are ways and people who can make it easier for you as you go through that process.
Yeah, and you may feel intense grief, self-doubt, and fear at first, but realistically, the real and only way out of it is through the pain. With the help of time and the right support, you will eventually get closure, find peace, and move on. Mm-hmm. After all, healing is a process, not a destination.
Yes.
Before we end this episode, let us go through the tips mentioned earlier for how not to let your past hold you back. Tip number 1, do not skip the grieving process.
Tip number 2, do not rush into something else.
Tip number 3, do not make excuses.
Tip number 4, do not focus on the bad, focus on the good.
And finally, tip number 5, do not neglect self-care. If you think you've done everything but you're still struggling to let go, you may want to consider seeking professional help to guide you through the process. Again, we hope you learned something from this episode and our misadventures in moving on from experiences.
Please join us again next week when we talk about things one shouldn't do online.
Wow.
Ooh, social media etiquette.
Yeah.
Yikes. Nailed it! Nailed it. See you next week.
Until next time, AD out.
Bye!
Music by Joshua Benzon.
Editing by ADD.